Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
I want to continue our studies on how to birth the visions of God in your life by reading from the book of Luke chapter 19. Jesus was teaching a parable here in verse 12. He said, "A certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called, that is before he left, he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas or units of money. And he said to them, 'Do business with this until I come back.'" Now in verse 15, the Bible says that, "And it came about when he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him in order that he might know what business they had done. And the first appeared, saying, 'Master, your mina has made 10 minas more.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, be in authority over 10 cities.' And the same thing happened to the another one who said, 'I've made 5 minas more.' And he said to him in verse 19, 'You will be in authority over 5 cities.' And another one came and said he had done nothing, and the judgment was passed upon that one. But we won't read the story about the other man, because that's not actually what I want to bring out in this text. What I want to bring out is how he relates with those who did something right with the money that he gave them and with the reward that they got, which was the reward of a higher level of service. But I want you to notice something here. Before he left on his journey and he gave them those minas, he did not inform them that he was using that to test them so as to know which level of authority he would be able to place them over when he will have received his kingdom. That is, the test of money that he gave them was not just for money's sake. He wanted to test their ability to reign over cities. So when he gave one mina, and that one was able to multiply it 10 times, for him it was a signal that this man will be able to administer effectively 10 cities. Now what I want to briefly want to explain to us, because we've been talking about how to birth the visions of God in your life. Now today I'm going to explain something in continuation with that, differentiating between dreams and visions. Now what I want to say is not, I'm not saying this is a world standard difference, meaning of those two words. It's just the way I want to apply it to help us get some things out of life. Because visions, in my own estimate, are clear things that we can see clearly and we can plot the fulfillment thereof. But dreams are vague. There are things that we cannot give details to, that we don't really have the fine details of what happens in dreams. But visions are slightly different. Things are clearer when it comes to visions. And when Joel was going to prophesy, he said, "Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions." Now, the point I'm trying to make from that is this. You will see that in this situation, what the men were given, which was money, typifies for me this evening visions. That is, things that we can do. We have been given money. He said, "Occupy with this or do business with this until I come back." Now, but the Lord, the master here, was not actually interested only in what they did with money, how they multiplied it. But that was supposed to be a test of their ability to handle bigger things. And I'm explaining something here, because I've been talking about how to bring to birth the visions of God in your life. There's a scripture I want to read, and that's from the book of Ephesians chapter 3. If you read in verse 20, Paul said, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Now, something I want you to notice here is that he said we have an ability to think, we have the ability to ask. But Paul was saying here that God is able to do far beyond that which we can even imagine. That is, if we have a vision in our hearts, God can do beyond that vision. I like the way one man of God said it in a place where I was listening to him teach many years ago. He said, once human beings are able to think of something, it is already too small for God to do. Because the Bible says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all. That is, when you have visions in your heart, that tells you that that is inferior to what God can do in your life. The fact that you can think about something shows that God can go beyond that level. And I'm explaining, however, that even though God can go beyond that level, he needs you to effectively fulfill that which you are able to see for him to place you in a place that is far beyond the one you can imagine. Remember those servants and slaves we read about in Luke chapter 19. The master gave them money and they were able to relate with money. And he said, do business with it. But what they couldn't relate with yet was the fact that they would be rulers over cities. And he didn't tell them about it. So he said, go and do faithfully that which I have put in your hand. And then I will be able to put you in the place that I have determined, which is far beyond your imagination. I want us to understand this. I've said it again and again. You see, this life, God is judge. The Bible says that he lifts up one and he brings down another. What you will experience ultimately in life is the judgment of God. That is where God lifts you into is where you will be. And if God does not lift you into a particular place, you will never get there. But I'm saying that in the earlier stages of your life, God gives you opportunities to prove faithful so that he will use your faithfulness to decide where he will place you into. I was teaching a few days ago in my ministry office, and I explained something. That if God says, preach the word from a 200 floor building. Now, he didn't say you will be the one to build it. He may make somebody else build it, and he will place you there in the 200th floor, even though you were not the one that built it. But before he will do that, he will have proved you faithful on the ground floor of a single-story building in your preaching the word. He will not just lift you up to a building that has 200 floors and put you on top. He will first prove you faithful in the little things that he gave you the capacity to do. You are walking somewhere, God is watching so as to prove you faithful. Please, I've not lost track of what I'm trying to say. I'm explaining this issue of bringing to birth the visions of God in your life. I'm saying visions are the things that are inside your heart which you have been able to conceive. And I'm saying also that is a level that you can see now. What God has planned your life to be is far beyond that level. But as you exercise yourself in that which you can see, trying to fulfill that which your heart is able to conceive, God is watching. It's like you trading with the minas that he has given you. And he says, if you effectively fulfill that which I have placed in your heart that you can see, then I will take you to the place which you never imagined. I read this scripture to let us understand something. And this is where the word of God differs from motivational speaking. We are talking about the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is that you will live in houses you did not build. What God was saying is this. Places that you never used your hand to construct, I will take you into that. Now, there's a difference between the principles of the word of God and the motivational speaking. If a man is trying to motivate you, what he will tell you is sit down, envision what you can do and do it. I am telling you, sit down, envision what you can do, do it, but know that that is not where your life will end. When God has seen the effectiveness with which you are doing the one you are able to handle, then he will take you to the place beyond the one that you can ever imagine. You know, I was watching a few days ago the biography of the vice presidential candidates for the American election. And I was watching closely the life of the woman who is the running mate to John McCain of the Republican Party, Sarah Palin. And this woman, in just a few years, she moved from being the chairman of the PTA of her children's school to becoming the running mate in a presidential election. That is, before the time her name was announced, shortly before that, she never imagined. They were interviewing her father. He said, how do you feel that your daughter is now the vice presidential candidate, all right, in the next election? And the man smiled, shook his head, said, well, this is my little girl. I just can't believe it. That is, this is beyond what we all imagined. Now, how did this start with her? And I'm not giving details about her life story, but I just want to bring out something there. She was the chairman of a PTA. From there, went on to be mayor of a small town that had just about 4,000 inhabitants. From there, went on to become a governor. And then without her skimming it, one day they called upon her and said, you will be the vice presidential running mate for the Republican Party. Whether she will win, they win or not, I don't know. But the point I want to make here is this. She never thought about that. That was not her plan. There was nothing she did to bring her up to that level. I'm explaining something here. If God makes you the chairman of a PTA, he will give you visions. Listen to this. And he will bring to birth the visions of God in your life. And based upon the extent with which you are successful in doing that, God will now lift you up to a level that is beyond you. Please get that point. Because we have been saying a number of things that we have said talking about this issue of bringing to birth the vision of God in your life. I explained that, you see, first, the vision must be birthed in your heart. And I said that there are visions of God and there are visions of Satan. I said the visions of God are the ones that are not centered upon you, but they are centered upon how you can effectively be a blessing to other people. And without going over everything that we have said, remember, I said to get your own vision from God, you have to go and pray. And whatever vision you have in your heart, you must sanctify it. Lay it before the altar of God and say, God, if this is your vision, strengthen it in my heart. And if it is not your vision, remove it from my heart. That's very important. We pray and lay our visions down before God. And I said that after you have done that, what you begin to do, you start reading and you start learning. And I'm going to talk about that in more details as we go on. But your mind must be prepared
for the thing that God wants to do. Now, I've said all of this, so let us understand that let us do our business, pursue the visions that God has placed in your heart. But bear in mind, if you're a child of God, this is the power of the grace of God. That power will lift you beyond that which you have ever imagined. So please just bear that in mind and don't ever forget. And in your heart, always expect something great to happen. But like the way Kenneth Hagin said it those days, some people come and say, and people ask me questions like that again and again and again. They say that, I don't know the calling God has for my life. I don't know my ministry. What is my ministry? What is my calling? And the answer I give them all the time is that, what is it that you know how to do now, and that doing it, you will be blessing other people? Sit down there and do that one. Do you get my point? A calling does not mean you are jumping on the one from one pulpit to the other. That's not the only thing that a calling means. It can be take good care of your children. It can be take good care of your neighbor's children. It can be take good care of your master's goods. Whatever it is, that is what is placed in your hand today. And doing it, you will be blessing the life of somebody else. It is why doing it, Kenneth Hagin was saying, that God will know where to find you. You see, that's one problem I see a lot of times with Christians. You know, we want to define things. Say, what is my calling? I'm an evangelist. I've seen so many evangelists who are not evangelizing anything. But they have located the title and they have attached it to their names. If whether they call you pastor or not, it's not what makes you a pastor. It's whether you are pastoring. Do you get my point? Whether you are there busy infusing people with the word of God, which is the work of a shepherd. Now, I'm trying to explain something. Let us not get carried away by, I want to define my ministry. I want to know my calling. No. If something is placed in your hand today, and from inside you, the ability to do it flows forth. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do that with all your might. When God needs you for something else, He will know where to find you. That is the point I'm trying to make. All right? Now, let me say something, because you know I said earlier that I'm going to say something different between dreams and visions. All right? Because those dreams, it appears, the way I've having studied the scriptures, some of the things I have come to understand is that God may give you an idea. Maybe when you were young, let's take Joseph, our biblical example. When he was very young, Joseph dreamt. Now, the dream was not very clear to him. I dare to say that he did not even understand the interpretation of those dreams. It was his older brothers and his parents that said, look, what it means is that we are all going to bow down to you. Now, how that was going to be fulfilled, the man had no idea. Do you follow my point? In fact, he did not ever imagine that one day he will leave the security of his father's home and go to a distant land where he won't know anybody. Now, that's in Egypt. But that was where God finally took him to. But as he was going one step after the other, let's take an example. When he got into Egypt, in Potiphar's house, he was such a skilled administrator of that home that the Bible testifies that Potiphar stopped bothering himself with anything inside that estate of his. But apart from the food that he would eat, he so trusted that Joseph could handle everything. This is what I'm trying to explain. If you talk to Joseph at that particular point in time, he's not going to start telling you about one highfalutin vision. He's going to tell you how they are going to improve the accommodation in the home, how they are going to improve the sanitation in that home. Those are the visions that are right there in front of him. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, it was as he was fulfilling that God began to move him. Now, that same attitude of his was what followed him into prison. And while he was there, he demonstrated the same care for people that he demonstrated in the house of Potiphar. He showed his concern for people. In the prison, he was so committed and diligent that they gave everything again into his hands. Now, this is the point I'm making. When the time came, God knew where to find him. One of the people that he helped, not even trying to help them so that they can help him back. He just helped them because they looked like they needed help. It was one of them that now remembered him one day, all right, and brought him before Pharaoh. And that was, like we will say, his breakthrough. But in actual fact, what happened was that God said, you have been faithful in little. Come and be in charge of many cities. Do you follow the point I'm going to make here? That is, listen, this is how life is. I want us to get this very clear. You can have clear-cut visions. Listen, one thing I want you to understand is that where your life will end up being, you can never understand it very well. It's not possible. You can settle down now and have what appears to you like clear-cut visions. Go for that. That's what I'm admonishing. Go for it. Walk towards it. But know one thing for sure. God will take you beyond that which you can imagine right now. The responsibility of God is to take you beyond that which you can think of or even ask. So that's the point I'm making. That's how dreams are. You have a vague idea in your mind like Joseph had, but then forget that one. Each day, God puts something before you and He said, this is your responsibility. Take care of it. And I'm explaining something. The power of vision that we've been talking about, how to actualize your vision, use it there. Do you get my point? Because one of the things you'll find out, and I will explain that later on, as I'm going on now, is that the fulfillment of the great dream, which is not clear in your mind, dreams are never clear. Joseph just had a vague idea. I dreamt one day. But he could plot what we do to improve the household of Potiphar. He could plot how they will arrange to make the prisons better for the inmates. He could plot those things. Those are immediate visions before him. I want to bring out something. Those little visions that you are fulfilling each day is what is moving you towards the great dream that you cannot even articulate. Do you get the point I'm making here? Please, what I'm preaching is faithfulness in little things. Because sometimes, that's the problem with people, we despise the little thing that God has given into our hands. Listen, there's something I want to read to explain that one further. Now, if you read from the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, it said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. I explained earlier that what the Spirit of God was doing was incubating and brooding exactly what he wanted to do. Do you understand? Now, if you read through, you see that the Bible will not tell you, and God said. And I said earlier that when he said, it wasn't like he was speaking English or Hebrew, the way we will imagine it. It's just that what was full in his heart erupted out of his mouth. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, the spiritual force so released brought what God had conceived to be. So when he conceived light, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And the Bible says that God saw that light was good. That is, he compared that which was outward with what he already had in mind. Now, please bear this in mind. I'm explaining something. You will use the same principles to effect your vision. But I'm introducing to you again today that is inferior to where God will really take you to in life. And that's what I'm calling dreams. There will be wild things that will just pass through your mind as a young person. You probably have forgotten. Don't worry about it. It will come to pass. You can't pursue after those ones. What you can pursue after are the visions, things that you can incubate. Now, so God will come and say again, the Bible says in verse 6, he said, God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate waters from waters. And God kept on doing this after the other. The Bible said that it was so, and things like this, and God will look at it and say it is good. Now, you read that whole portion of the Bible, you see God will take one thing, and he will say that there was evening, and there was morning, there was first day. Then there was evening, and there was morning, second day. He kept on going. Now, let me explain a principle here. God is very powerful, we know. All right? Now, why didn't God just say, let the earth come forth and all that it contains, and in one day, everything will be? Now, this is what I believe. The reason why he didn't do that is because that would not have been appropriate. And he would have sent a wrong message to those of us who will be reading the stories later. That life is taken step by step. Now, listen to what I'm saying. We are talking about how to birth the visions of God in your life. One of the mistakes we make, I've heard this before. You tell a young man, why don't you do something, all right, to improve your life? And he says that, the kind of blessing that God blesses people comes suddenly. And unfortunately, let me say this. Unfortunately, sometimes we preachers, we make it appear as if that is the natural order of things. That a great blessing just comes suddenly. Now, listen. Do great blessings come suddenly? Sometimes they do. Ultimately, in your life, there will be a great blessing that will come suddenly. But let me say this clearly. You can never plot for it. You can never plan for it. You cannot even wait for it. What are you supposed to do? You are supposed to take life step by step. Keep on making steady progress. If a great breakthrough comes upon you suddenly, then you receive it. Do you get my point? Because if you are waiting for the great breakthrough, the Bible says hope that is deferred makes the heart faint. You will discover that life will become very discouraging for you. I have met a man once. Now, this guy was older than me. I mean, that time when I was in my mid-20s, he was already tending towards 40 years of age. And I asked the person who I knew him through, I said, how come this guy is not really doing anything productive? He just hangs around you, a business person. And the fellow said that I have tried to help him. I have offered to get him a job. Listen. And he said that jobs don't pay much. That the kind of blessing that he's looking out for, that it comes suddenly, that a big door will just open and the money will be plenty. For all the days that I knew him, he was waiting for that breakthrough and it never came. I've heard that story. That's not the only time I've heard it. People have told me, ask the young man, why are you not doing something about your life? He said, all this struggle, how much will you get? They don't understand that struggle is not what will take you to breakthrough, but it is necessary to qualify you for breakthrough. Listen to what I'm saying. The struggles that you will struggle, you may be earning only 10,000 naira a month, 15,000, 20,000 naira a month, 30,000. Yes, you have friends who they got a good job. They suddenly got a bank job after they left school. They started them on 200,000 naira a month salary. Or they started working in a telecom company. They went into an oil company. For that reason, your heart starts imagining that if you are going to succeed in life, you have to get that kind of job. Let me tell you, life is spiritual. Look, listen. Stop sitting around waiting for what is not coming. People tell me that there are no jobs. I say, listen, my friend, there are jobs. There are jobs. There are jobs. If you are willing to work, somebody is out there ready to employ you. He might not pay you so much, but if you take the little you have been paid and you put your energy into it, you have visions. You know, some time ago, I talked on creating the opportunities for prosperity. And please, I really will beg you to try and get that series of CDs. Good enough, it's on just one MP3 CD, the whole message, 18 messages. All right? And that message will bless you. I explain all of these things. Inside that, I explain something. I said that Jacob was never blessed until he had blessed Laban. When he wanted to leave Laban, Laban said, I have discerned that, or I have divined that I have become rich through your effort. That is, until he made somebody else rich, he couldn't make himself rich. A lot of us have never made anybody rich. We're in a hurry to make ourselves rich. But this, let me just sit on what I'm going to explain here. That visions come in stages. Do you follow my point? Why God didn't create everything suddenly was because that is not the proper order. You take things step by step. You will notice something here, that every time the Bible says that God said something should be, and it was so, and he looked and said it was good. Now, what we don't understand is that for the things to be consistently good, he had to go step by step. Light had to come first, you get what I'm saying, before any other thing could come. And let me use that one in a figurative way now. I said something last time, which I should emphasize. I said, before you start moving towards your vision, you must be informed. Do you get what I'm saying? That the mistake we make sometimes that we want to reinvent the wheel. People want to start making things that they think they are innovative. They don't realize that people have done these things before them, and it is just that they have not bothered yet. Do you get what I'm saying? To go and find out what other people did before now. You know, a few nights ago, I was watching a program on TV, Dragon's Den. And this was being sponsored by a bank, and the people were willing to sponsor people's businesses, buy into their businesses. Now, what you need to do, you could come there and ask for millions of naira. But what you needed to do was come and explain what you want to do with the money, all right? And then they tell them how much you will give to the bank as they are equity in your business, and they will give you money. And you know, I watched this thing for some time. Saw many people come there to present their business proposals. And I noticed something that was consistent throughout until only one person. Virtually every person that spoke was not informed about what was going on. They will ask, okay, who else is making these goods in Nigeria right now that you want to make? That who are your competitors? They don't know. How much will it cost? How long will this take? They have no idea. They have not brought light into the situation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Light has not yet come and they want to build. Listen, life is in stages. The first stage in creation is the stage of light. God said, let there be light, let there be illumination. Let there be understanding, let there be information. You want to do something, you must be informed about it. When my wife and I will be talking a lot of times, I say, look, don't ever do business you don't know about except you are willing to learn. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what kills a lot of people in their businesses. They wake up, oh, this thing is selling, and they want to go and sell it too. Who makes it, they are not sure. Who uses it, they are not sure. They just know that this guy dealt in that business, that's the business he was doing, and he made a lot of money, and they want to start. And then, unfortunately, you see, again, this is why God doesn't give you all the desires of your heart suddenly. Because if you knelt down and pray and say, God, let somebody lend me 10 million to start this business, you'll be in trouble because you will lose the money and you won't get anything. What God does is that he allows you build up bit by bit. You take 10 naira here, you make 15 naira there, you grow up in that business. A lot of people don't have that understanding. They wreck money, they wreck time, they waste a lot of resources because they are not willing to learn first. So I say, if you want to go into a line, you want to do a business, say to make money, I say, don't ever do it except it's something you know how to do or something you are willing to learn. That is, illumination must come first before the real visions in your heart will become manifested. The first thing that God did was to say, let there be light. And when light was, do you follow my point? Let there be books. He went and bought books. Now, I'm putting that in our own situation now. Let there be information. He called people. Let there be understanding. He went on the internet and he researched. Are you getting what I'm going to say? For example, I am a preacher. All right? Sometimes when I'm talking to people, for example, talk about how to use the internet, talk about how to publication. Somebody sent me a note the other day. He said he bought a book on publications. He says, sir, I must say you are a genius. And I laughed because I didn't even know the book he read. What happened was that I gave him a lot of advice on publication. Finally, he now saw a book on how to publish books and print and all of that. And he saw that a lot of the information I'd given him was inside, or maybe even things better than that, I don't know. But he just sent me a text. He said, "Sir, you are a genius." And I smiled to myself. I said, how did I become, in quote, a genius there? It's not as if I have a brain bigger than everybody else, but because I know I am a preacher. Listen, when I started ministry, the first thing I did was to printing tracts, just print tracts. From there, I started knowing the different kinds of printing. I asked questions. I was able to cost things. People would call me and say, well, they are charging me this amount to print this book. What do you think? I said, it is expensive. How do I know? I immediately give the person a quick rundown on how to do, pricing when it comes to printing. Now, am I a printer? No. But what am I? I'm a publisher. I'm a writer. I'm into ministry. I'm propagating the word of God through the print medium. When I'm educating people sometimes on how to do audio editing of simple voice. Now, interesting enough, I can't edit music. I don't know how to do it because it doesn't have anything to do with me at all. But when it comes to recording voice, editing voice and stuff like that, one guy looked at me and said, how do you know all of these things? I said, for goodness, this is what I do. This is my life. Day in, day out, I am editing messages. I have information. Now, I'm explaining something here. It's called let there be light. Let there be illumination. Now, when we have illumination, we can now begin to speak other things into existence. I'll develop this thing further next time, right? But this point I've just tried to make today, that you see that God took things step by step, and you must be ready to let your visions become manifested step by step. In fact, later I'm going to tell you that, you know, I explained earlier that God saw that it was good. That means that what was outward, all right, agreed with what was inside. Now, we therefore think that everything that God said was always good. One day I was studying and I discovered that it was not always like that. That there was something that God made, and then God looked and said, this one is not good. Remember, after he made the man, the Bible says he looked and said, it is not good the current state this man is in. I'm explaining something. Was the man defective? No. But he had not yet reached the point of the full realization of God's vision. So he looked at Adam and he said, no, this guy can't do what I made him to do. That is, I have not yet fully finished making him. He made the light and said it was good. He made every other thing and said it was good. But after he made the man, he said it is not good. Now, I'm going to do something. Did he condemn the man? No. He said, what we will now do is to make something else to make him perfect. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That was when he now made the woman. What am I saying? That he had a vision. The first stage was not perfect. He said, therefore, we'll go into the next stage. That is, your life will also go like that. There will be stages. You have visions. You start little by little. You do the first time, it's not perfect. Then you go back and say, yes, we did it. It's not perfect, but we can do something to make it better. You take it stage by stage, step by step, until you attain to that perfection that you are looking for. Now, as you are attaining to the perfection, listen to this, of a particular vision, God gives you the next. Are you getting what I'm saying?
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.